whole wide world. All my niggas in the whole wide world made the sun and make it all yours. Turn for us. This shit is for us.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Ratchet Research, the podcast that looks at pop culture with one eye on history. Sometimes. I'm your host, Kat. You can reach me at xrecluse on Twitter, or you can email all of your complaints to my co-host at blackgirlsqueet@gmail.com. I'm here with Dee Dee from the Black Girl Squeet. It has been so long. From the Black Girl Squeet podcast and the Podcasting Network. And today, our topic is podcasting and race, or as Dee Dee called this episode, podcasting so white.
Hey, hello. I'm also throwing up the middle fingers.
What do I do?
Why are you telling, you always tell them to send hate mail to me? I'm not appreciative.
Not hate mail, just all complaints. You can structure your complaints difference. Nicely.
Okay.
You were literally just talking about, yeah, probably.
So, anyways, back to the topic. We're talking about podcasts and how they, you know, slip and slide and try to evade and avoid talking about race and why this bugs us a lot. So much so.
If you could see our DMs.
Oh, our DMs. For the past several months. Because it seems like the minute that Kat mentioned this topic, I started seeing it everywhere in everything I listened to. God damn it.
I thought it came from you. It came from me?
Yes. Oh. You're like, oh, we should do, you know, we should do an episode on this, because I'm noticing this in the types of podcasts that I'm listening to. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, I was noticing some things in some of the shows that I listened to, and then it just kept getting more and more pronounced, especially the closer we get to Black Panther, the more overtly racist comments that y'all's president be spitting out of his mouth.
Which, can you believe that they can get more overt than they were during the election? Like, that's the thing.
And people
right?
still don't want to call it what it is. So, so
I think, though, that I had actually picked it up from you, even if I was the first one to talk about it, because you were always talking about how when you listen to, like, TV recap podcasts, you were like, your consistent comment like every week was, do y'all have Black people that work with you? Because X, Y, and Z. So I think I had actually picked it up from like your commentary and observations.
Yeah. I mean, it's a common thing because, I mean, as you can see from the syllabus, most of podcasting is a white male dominated space. It has been from the inception. It's getting less so now, but it's still predominantly white men hosting most of the podcasts, and especially most of the ones that are sponsored.
Yes. Yes.
Which is really important, because I wish a bitch like me could get some sponsorship.
Because I'm saying, though, Blue Apron.
Okay.
You can email Dee Dee at blackgirlsqueet@gmail.com. Yeah, it's true, though.
So, and one of the articles points out that one of the reasons why it stays so white is that, of course, the advertising, but also the sharing and the cross promotion. Yes. Is from one white podcaster to another. So they're sharing all of their own shit, but they're not sharing anything from more diverse hosts. I mean, there are more diverse content out there. You can see that from Barry, who runs Podcasts in Color. She has an entire database full of podcasts hosted by people of color. And a popular hashtag, Pods in Color, that you can use to find new podcasts. So, and people are constantly, you know, asking about it. So the demand is there. It's just people don't know about it because it's not getting the kind of promotion that that white podcasters right. give to each other. Sure.
And I also think too, right, that it's like part of what's happening is, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the kinds of genres, or at least I'll start to talk about it because I think about it a lot. But like the podcasts that go viral, right? Like there is something to be said about like production value and like all of that. But the ones that end up going viral are not actually always great in terms of storytelling, mm-hmm. right? But they tap into this sort of like worldview about like how white people see whatever the topic at hand is. So like one of the true crime podcasts that I started and then stopped listening to because it was actually terrible was called, I don't even remember what it's called, but that one was good. Although, well, anyway, I forget what it's called, but I know who, so whatever it was, like I started listening to it, but it was so unorganized, like, and it didn't seem to have a point, but then it went viral. And I think part of the reason I found it is because as it was airing, the guy who killed the woman that they were investigating her death, like was caught. And so it became this like big thing. He got so much, publicity and all of that. And so now he has another podcast and it's on mm-hmm. the Atlanta child murders. Right. And so I don't remember what the first one was called, but it's that team. And so I just remember kind of thinking, cause I started listening to the Atlanta, it's called Atlanta Monster. I started listening to it cause I've always found that case interesting. But then part of me was like, why are you doing this? Because you already didn't like the way they told the previous story, but it's just because it's ubiquitous, right? So it's like, it got a whole bunch of publicity. It was shared a lot. And then that thing happens where they found the girl's killer and it was shared even more. And so it's like, well, I might as well give it a try, you know? And it's, even though I already don't like the way that they structure their work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, like, it taps into this, like, audience that is built on not being necessarily challenged or critiqued, really, right? So it,
but I don't know. So what did you think of whatever episodes, however many episodes you listened to of The Atlanta Monster?
I think it's only been like two or three, and I actually like it, but I actually now have another critique of them, which actually made me stop watching or stop listening to another true crime podcast. Part of the reason I like Atlanta Monster is because they actually just have a whole bunch of interviews. So like young people who grew up in the neighborhoods that were where the children were being taken from, the FBI and police officers who were a part of the investigation, things like that, right? So it's like, I actually really like it because I like hearing people who have like expertise about it, right? Or some kind of knowledge that isn't available for those of us not from there or who didn't live through it. I love that part, but it's like, it's partially because they're not setting the real narrative, right? Like outside of like pulling together those interviews, it's not the same as their first one where they were trying to tell a story of a cold case from, I think it was like 30 years ago. And they were still doing the interviews, but they inserted themselves a whole bunch into the story. They're not doing that with Atlanta Monster. And I think that's partially because, I don't know. I really don't know. But if you listen to, I forget what their first one was called, but if you listen to the two, they actually don't read really, they don't sound really similar. And so Atlanta Monster is something I'll probably finish. Although there are some things I already maybe don't like, but part of the reason I like Atlanta Monster is just because the podcasting host is very much not a part of the narrative. And so I forget realistically that like, this is that group. That I already didn't like.
Up and Vanished?
That's what it was called. It sucked. I do not.
And do you think the reason why they don't insert themselves into this latest podcast is because they don't have the range and they know it?
Probably. I think it's, I honestly, I don't know. I would love to hear them talk about that. And they might. I feel like the other thing that happened with Up and Vanished is they were telling a story and then they started having all these like mini episodes. And I don't know, like that just feels like a huge divergence where they were like running down rabbit holes or like whatever, talking about like the behind the scenes stuff. And I was like, fam, what are you doing? So maybe at some point they'll talk about like how they've chosen to tell this story differently than Up and Vanished. But I think it's because they don't have the range. I was going to say that, but I'm going to be rude. I think it's because you can be rude. Because in the first one, the host, like his grandmother lived in the town where the girl went missing and was killed. And so I think he like he had an inn in that community that they just don't have in Atlanta. Like there's a woman in the very first full episode who is like a professor in Atlanta who also grew up in Atlanta during the time of the murders. And I kind of was like, as I was listening to it, I was like, well, why the hell isn't she the host? Because it would seem to me she would be much better equipped to tell this story. So that's part of my issue, right? Is that it's like, they found her, they've interviewed her. She has really great things to say. Hell, the FBI agents have really great things to say. And they're essentially getting the shine or whatever comes off of that because they can put the story together, but they don't have any particular expertise in Atlanta or these particular murders, whatever. Yeah.
Who gets to tell these stories? It's important. So,
absolutely.
And speaking of important, why is it so important that podcasts in general address race head on? Like, so many podcasts that I listen to want to avoid being political. And the political ones want to avoid being racial, which is
political.
I just want to shake them. Like, look, y'all's president has made this climate so divisive racially that to not pick a side is picking a side.
Let me tell you about my most recent annoyance on this issue. So I feel like I listen to, Lord, I listen to like two kinds of podcasts regularly. And that is true crime and political Trump-based ones, right? And one of the ones that I listen to that I have long hated is TrumpCast. But the only reason I stick with it is because they have three regular hosts, and one of them is Jamel Bowie, and his episodes are always fantastic. The other two white people are a hot ass mess. So most recently, they had this historian talking about his recent book, kind of thinking about Trump in the context of like other authoritarian leaders. And so that guy had really interesting things to say. And I think the host asked him, like, has the U.S. had like other authoritarian leaning presidents or whatever? And so when answering the question, he started talking about Trump's racism. And one of his points was, well, of course, he's not an anomaly in that sense, because slavery was legal in this country. So clearly. So then the host goes, but you're talking about institutions, not the president. And I literally like sputtered and like went back to my phone to like rewind it so that I could hear it again, because I was like, no, this motherfucker didn't.
Oh, God.
Fam, we have had actual slaveholding presidents.
10 of them.
We have had actual KKK members in the White House. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and then it kind of annoyed me because the host, either because he thought, I think he, the host thought he had made an error in his analysis and he had not. But the host kind of confused him, because I literally was like, the host was like, well, that's an institution, not the presidency. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, these institutions are actually coming out of the presidency, right? But also, we have had blatantly racist presidents before Trump who were, I would argue, much more dangerous because of the ways in which they actually supported and sanctioned violence against, in particular, Black people, but also Native Americans. Like, you, like Andrew Jackson is our most authority, and I think this was actually the example the guy used, but it's like Andrew Jackson not only like supports but also participates in the murder of Native Americans. Like, that is absolutely the thing that he built his political career on. So to argue as if like Trump is like so terrible, we've never experienced this before, it was like just an amazing amount of historical amnesia. And it, so it was that, and so it's two white dudes like trying to talk about Trump's racism, but like just as you said, not having the range, and it just infuriated me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it coming from Slate, but we will pretend. But you know, I probably will say the same things about. I can say the same things from, you know, NPR podcast. So
well, I don't actually listen to any of those because everyone I started I've given up on pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I listen to now is Code Switch, and I pretty much feel like that's what most of NPR should sound like, seeing as they're headquartered in a predominantly Black city, Washington, D.C., NPR is like a lot of these other media organizations in that they try to evade discussions about race, and they really shouldn't.
But also the thing that really frustrates me is that so a lot of the like political the political podcasts that I listen to are Trump Cast, The Intercepted, which is the one coming out of the Intercept newspaper or news, I don't know, whatever, news agency. They're a mess. And is there another one? Radio Atlantic. And Worldly, which is out of Vox. And what I have found is that in all of those contexts, the only time they have Black people on is when they're talking about Black people issues. So that goes out to every other group, right? So they'll have someone who's Asian American when they're talking about Asian American issues, like whatever, whatever. And so in that context, they will have a discussion about race that is totally a token. But then, and most importantly, the conversation about race they're never having is about whiteness, right? So it's like when they will talk about, so those two white dudes talking about Trump's racism could have very easily had a conversation about how Trump's racism is based on Trump's belief in and support of the supremacy of whiteness, right? And sort of thinking about white supremacy as like part of American institutions and a very important part of American history. But instead, they were like, well, let's focus on these shithole comments. And it was like, okay, so once again, so you're going to tell me that you think that Trump is the only American president who's ever talked about African and Caribbean and Asian countries in this way? Because dead ass, I've seen a whole bunch of their comments. That is not true, right? Like, again, how are you going to talk about like Teddy Roosevelt without talking about, for instance, the Philippine-American War, right? Like, Teddy Roosevelt makes his entire political career, his early political career in the late 19th and early 20th century, by supporting the expansion of American imperialism into the Pacific, literally, right? But where is that conversation about the ways in which that Americans think about it, not just American presidents, but also everyday Americans think about the third world, the developing world, right? These countries that have been very much shaped by European imperialism and neo-imperialism and American white supremacy at home and abroad.
It's just much easier for them to go for the low-hanging fruit, which is debunking these comments by highlighting Haitian exceptionalism, African exceptionalism, Asian exceptionalism. Okay. Like, you can go on for days about that. And those things are easy to debunk. I mean, it was an ignorant comment in the first place, but exactly. And the more that you focus on that instead of the larger issues and the fact that you voted in this toxic president, and you're waiting on Mueller and Oprah and somebody to save you from the bad choices that you made while ignoring the people that actually wanted to go another way. But anyway, so you're avoiding talking about issues that are more important to discuss, but when Doug Jones won that Senate race in Alabama, they might have a black person on to discuss then. I don't know, maybe not the podcast you were listening to. I was listening to Pod Save America, and
I tried that. One episode in, 3 o'clock in the morning, I got so angry that I woke up and started rage tweeting.
And
about it,
I started listening to 538 politics. Mm-hmm. And I forget what else, but Pod Save America will have Cory Booker on or something like that when Doug Jones won, and they'll talk about the black women for 1 minute. They won't talk about voter suppression, which they had to overcome just to get to the polls and vote in those numbers. They'll mm-hmm. talk about how it's not just black women that we need to work with to get out the vote. We also have to look at these college educated white people. I'm like, okay. All right, we're already lost. We've already lost the
entire train of thought. Yeah. So I saw this, there's this tweet running around Twitter right now that's literally like, millennials, like, here's a bit of information. Like, there are now more millennials than, like, I think they said baby boomers, but, you know, essentially older people. And I was like, oh, so we're still peddling that fiction that, like, millennials are one, a cohesive political movement, right? Or a cohesive political voter bloc. But we're also, like, still peddling this idea, right, that, like, racism is, like, an old people's game. Mm. And that young people aren't racist. And I was like, see, I think I'm the same age. What is that troll looking ass motherfucker in the White House?
Which one?
The one who looks like he's 45, but he's like 30 something. No. No. Although, never mind. that's another conversation. The one who just got owned by Jake Tapper.
Oh crap.
And he has to be removed. What is his name? I always call him somebody else because I can't even bother to remember who he is. But his hairline is like a full two blocks back from his like eyebrows. But anyway, look, two city blocks to me. But we're like the same age. Like he and I are in like roughly the same age. We're both in our like early mid 30s. And I'm sitting here like, so realistic, and we're technically millennials based on like when you like have that like generation beginning and ending. This is not someone who's going to see this tweet and be like, yeah, we're going to put in all the progressives. So it's this idea, right, that like the way in which we're having these political conversations on the podcast, certainly, but then also elsewhere. And I'd also argue to a certain extent that like a lot of these podcasts are like distilling the conversations happening on Twitter. So they're distilling a lot of other people's whatever. Thoughts. Anyway, so yeah.
Stephen right? Miller.
Yes. I always call him, is it Gorka? Because I feel like that name matches his face.
Oh my God.
But that's also inappropriate.
His hairline is two city blocks.
Two city blocks.
God damn. Okay.
he's like 32, 30. He's between 32 and 34. Ooh. And I'm 34. Ooh. So it's like, and he looks 45. I mean, it just blew my whole mind. But like, so anyway, like we keep having these conversations that are surface level at best. Like I'd argue they're even worse than that, but they just refuse to dig down deeply into the actual nuts and bolts, right? So it's like, you know, how are you going to have this conversation about what, you know, the resistance looks like and what Democrats should do and what they should not do? And yet in all of these conversations that I'm hearing on podcasts, there are no Black women there to be had as part of them unless they're talking to one another. Which the issue is, we're already talking to one another, which is why we ain't out here like voting like crazily, like white women. Basically. And so we should be able to be a part of these larger conversations. So either you're telling me there's not a Black woman at Vox, there's not a Black woman at Slate, there's not a Black woman at NPR who can have these conversations about the Democratic Party and the ways in which it treats literally its most loyal demographic of voter, which is Black women. Or you're telling me that you don't give a shit.
Yes. And it's probably both. Yes. A lot of these newsrooms still don't have very many people of color, and among them even fewer Black people working. So and that's why,
I mean, this is when you phone a goddamn friend.
Yeah, this is why I stopped listening to the NPR podcast, because they sent a group of people down to Alabama to cover the Senate race. All they talked to was white people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they probably didn't have anybody that Black people trusted enough to come up to and speak honestly about race.
But that's kind of bullshit, right? Because it's like a lot of the Black women who were working to help get Black, a lot of the Black people who were working to get Black people to vote in Alabama were working through the Democratic Party. So you're trying to tell me you couldn't go to one local organizer anywhere in Alabama and be like, give me a Negro that I can talk to. Extra points for a Negro. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm teaching my slavery course this semester.
I'm hitting the mute button on you. Let me find the mute button. points.
This is a pause. This is how I actually am, and I don't understand why anyone wants to be friends with me, because I am an honest to God mess. I make the most inappropriate.
Yeah, but this is, yeah, I'm like, all of the people in that, there's
point being, yes, that they could have asked.
I know you saw some Black people in and around the polls. Just
in Alabama,
at the grocery stores, just the same people that y'all polled for that. Well, I don't know who did that poll, but that terrible poll that they did before the election that said, oh, Black people don't know about the election, they're disinterested, all this other stuff. Talk to those people.
They ain't pulling nobody. That's how they came up with the results. They probably did exactly what you said. They were at the grocery store and they saw two Black cashiers and they were like,
yeah, I bet that sample size was really small. But so
it was all the house cleaning staff at their hotel.
Goodbye. Goodbye. This has been episode 8. No.
I'm sorry, y'all. I process my depression and my cynicism.
It comes through humor. Everybody wants to hear jokes. We've kind of talked about why it's important to actually talk about race. We could probably talk about that some more, but we do need to get into the rest of the show, which is going to go into detail about how a lot of these podcasts either avoid or try to address race, but not really. It's like,
yeah,
it's like they're scared. Like, are they scared or they just are just ignorant?
No. Yes.
Basically.
Well, that has been episode 8 of
you mentioned the politics podcasts, and yeah, I started listening to some of them until I just couldn't anymore, because this is just, they're infuriating, and they're going to keep making the same mistakes, because instead of investigating the numbers, you know, why did so many Black folks vote this way, despite rampant voter suppression? Why did so many white women vote for a pedophile? Instead of asking that question.
So that also leaves me
Instead of asking, they could have riffed for a whole hour trying to develop answers, trying to figure out why 63% of white women voted for Roy Moore. Nobody has.
But see, here's the thing, and this is the part that kind of kills me, right? So it's like, and smarter people than me certainly have, like, you know, been talking about and pointing out how often, like, journalists are talking to Trump supporters and they're not talking to anti-Trump citizens, right? But I think that is partially because they can talk to one Black person and they think, well, I know how Black people feel. And so what we're seeing now is that what scholars have been saying for decades, which is that white people think white people are infinitely fucking complex. And they think that Black people are monoliths. They think that Asian people are monoliths. They think that LGBTQ people are monoliths, right? Like, of course, like, you're not going to, the idea that we're still having this conversation where we're surprised that, like, LGBT conservatives, well, hello, their sexuality is not the center of their freaking identity, right? You can have Black Republicans, coons that they are, because their Blackness is not the only part of their identity, right? What's another really important part for some Black conservatives? Their Christian evangelicalism. And the fact that, like, in Alabama, they were having this conversation about the evangelical vote that was inaccurate because they were only talking about white evangelicals. Like, what the fuck? So it's like, this idea that white people have that they are so amazingly interesting, we just need to, like, devote more hours and hours and pages and books and, like, money to figuring out, like, you know, poor white people voting against their interests, like, white Trump supporters who still or do not still support him, whatever, they can short shrift everyone else because they think that we are some pale or melanated shadow of what white people think, or that we are either rejecting that if we, you know, do not agree with them, or that we are parroting it, right? And functionally, they do not understand that, like, people of color and other marginalized people view the world differently. That can have nothing to do with white people except for, like, maybe staying away from white people to protect ourselves physically. Or we can have, like, no interaction with white people outside of, like, our work or school lives, you know, places we cannot control. And we want it that way, right? Like, literally, like, I always have to tell my students when I teach civil rights history, this idea we have about integration being something that only white people resisted is so inaccurate. Like, white parents, Black parents in particular, were really unhappy with school desegregation because they were terrified about the harm they would put their children in. Well, just take that care of, like, wanting to protect ourselves and enjoying all Black spaces, for instance, and multiply that to any other part of our lives. You know what I mean? Like, we too can, like, not want to be fully integrated in our personal lives. And whether or not that's good or bad, you have to interrogate why we would want that, right? In the same way that you give all of this fucking loving attention to white supremacists and terrorists, like, you should also maybe consider that you should give that same interrogation to Black people or other people of color who are also insular. It's different motivations, but we do also have, or we can also have, that kind of desire not to be fully integrated. Which, you know, don't at me about this shit about, like, civil rights and humanity. I don't give a fuck about that. That's not what I'm saying. Thank you. Send that to
yeah,
me.
But yeah, I think yeah. But if they would, if they were to interview Black people, that would actually go into, you know, developing the idea that they're, you know, three-dimensional humans and stuff like that, and that's like totally not in their interests.
Maybe that's on the science fiction podcast I don't listen to. Well, first of all, we know that's not true either.
They don't even interview the GOP, the Black people that vote for Trump.
Mm-mm.
Like, even all their Trump supporters are white.
No. And there is all this increased attention right now on Mia Love because of her comments after the shithole thing, because she's the daughter of Haitian immigrants. And look, I didn't give a fuck about her. But even in, and I haven't, like, read any of those or watched any of her interviews or anything like that, but I did read her statement, and it was trash, first of all. And it was very much that whole, like, exceptional immigrant narrative, right? But I don't think that they're going to be asking her or putting her to task and sort of saying, hey, like, this is by no means the first racist thing he said about Black people. Do you only now care because it's about, like, Black immigrants? Or what do you think about, you know, his policies for immigrants from Latin America? Like, why didn't you speak out when he was running on building a border wall? Like, I don't think they're going to take her to task and try and figure out how she's been thinking, right? The only reason, look, I didn't even know who the hell she was. So the only reason she's even popping up is because she seems abnormal or exceptional, but it's like, she's not the only, you know, Black Republican. So she's clearly not.
So, politics podcasts really need to do better. Most of the ones that I've listened to, and yeah, I used to listen to the Slate Political Gab Fest back in the day, and that was a shit show. Oh my god. I was listening to it back in 2008. So there were men and women on the podcast, but the women were glibly talking about, oh, well, Black women have a choice. They can either vote for the Black man or the white woman. And I'm okay.
Who did they think the white woman's choice was?
Clinton. That was, you know, in the primaries when.
I wonder if they had to go back. Did they go back and rethink that?
It's late. They probably didn't. I stopped listening. But yeah.
Because look, now they have choices. It's a white man or a pedophile.
And they still.
Chose a pedophile.
Yeah. What? Ooh, okay. So, they need to do a lot better. They need to do better by actually having non-white hosts of political shows.
Definitely.
And not just that, but, you know, non-white hosts that aren't afraid to talk about some real shit instead of all of this stuff that'll make white listeners feel better about themselves.
Right.
But, you know, judging from the way a lot of y'all are voting, you shouldn't.
TrumpCast has a white man, a white woman, and Jamelle Bouie. And again, Jamelle Bouie's episodes are exactly what I would love to hear week to week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, and I don't know why this is the case, but his episodes are few and far between. So he has like probably half the number of everyone else. And I don't know if that's because he wants it that way or not. So I'm not trying to insinuate anything. But his episode, he does not post weekly. The other two will have a weekly episode on that feed. And his episodes are the ones that are usually interrogating race or interrogating whatever his particular issue is in a nuanced manner. The other two are like hashtag the resistance, and it's bullshit.
Mm. How you gonna have the resistance and with no black people?
Well, they do have black people. They're just here 3/5 of the time.
Goodbye. I've already said goodbye to you 3 times on this podcast.
Let's keep going. Let's see how many times we can put it together.
Basically, how many times can we end this episode within this episode? let's find out. So we talked a little bit about true crime and politics and how they approach or refuse to approach.
I think true crime is different. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like with politics, there is kind of a begrudging acknowledgement of race. But in a lot of the true crime podcasts that I have listened to that I probably don't listen to anymore, it's just a blanket ignorance about race. And so, but the way that looks is a little different. So like, I'll give it to the dudes who did I was about to call it Up and Away. Up and Vanished. And
Up and Away.
like, I'll give those dudes props for their next case being on a case that actually centers black people, because spoiler alert, the killer's black. But I cannot, there are a lot of other really popular true crime shows that really avoid covering any case that has a black killer or victim. And when black people or just people of color in general, when they do tend to show up, they actually do tend to be the perpetrators as opposed to the victims. And like we talked about this when we did the true crime episode, but when they ignore race in that way, they reify this idea that the show itself is about white people and for white people, but they also ignore, especially with victimhood, they ignore allowing people to be empathetic to these people and whatever violence is meted out against them. But when they have black perpetrators, or in particular black perpetrators, it feeds this narrative, right, that of black criminality. And so it's just total ignorance there. And then even interrogating, I've thought about this a lot, interrogating white female perpetrators, they never deal with race there, right? So I don't know anyone who's done the, is it Susan Smith, the woman who killed her children by drowning them in the car and then blamed a black man?
One of them.
I don't know anyone who's ever even, one of them, you right, first of all. I don't know anyone who's actually ever covered that case. And I think it's partially because covering that case would actually fuck up an entire paradigm of true crime narrative, whether it's television or books or podcasts, really just right this the way in which the entire genre is really fed through white female victimhood is completely fucked up when you have to deal with white women as perpetrators who use their femininity, right? So Susan Smith and these other motherfuckers knew for sure that they would be believed, that they could set up this scenario as long as the person they were blaming for their victimhood was a man of color. They knew that. And to interrogate that would fuck up the genre, generally speaking. So.
Well, I'm for it. Let's do it. Somebody.
But also somebody, nobody, because all y'all motherfuckers is white. Like, I don't know anyone who could do that well. No one. I've never listened to a true crime podcast that I would ever want to see them like delve into the case. Well, maybe one exception, and that's like the Canadians who do Someone Knows Something, I think is what it's called. And actually in their third season, which I think just ended a while ago, they're covering the hate crime of the murder of a Southern black man like 20 years ago, something like that. And they've been pretty good about representation on that show. So maybe they could do it well. And they're also journalists. And so they're, it's a little bit better. But I can't think of one other podcast I listen to where it's like, yes, I would love to see you like interrogate this case.
So, yeah, that just, yeah, we need more voices. We need new voices. We need non-white voices who actually want to interrogate these issues and not just go for the low-hanging fruit, the things that are easy to debunk. 'Cause listening to these white men and women talk about the same stuff in different ways and avoid anything deeper than a puddle when it comes to race, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. As a listener, I'm listening and I'm saying to myself, I'm talking back to the podcast more than I'm listening.
Yeah.
'Cause you're like, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And this and that? You're not talking about this. You're not talking about anything. So,
And it's that whole thing about them like cribbing the conversation from whether it's, I mean, Twitter, but also like, you know, news articles and TV news journalism. They're not bringing anything new to the case. And I feel like that really is what frustrates me. It's right. Like they could assume that their listenership has like, you know, seen whatever bullshit Trump has tweeted or has like seen the 2020 episode on this particular case. And so like provide some kind of new analysis, right? Where you're considering, it doesn't really have to be race, but since that's what we're talking about today, it's important. But like, you know, consider, right, that there is a different way of viewing last year, right? So it's like, I mean, all of the like 2017 year in reviews on the politics shows that I was listening to, very much it was like, it was from the standpoint of like, how did white people survive learning that like America isn't what they thought it would be? And I was like, or another conversation would be, what was it like for people of color who already knew that to live with everyone else finally waking the fuck up? Kinda.
They're still not. They're still wanna. Nobody wants to say that y'all's president is racist. He's a white supremacist. Y'all punish the people that do say the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although the white dude on Trumpcast said, we can't avoid it. Our president is racist. And I was like, I couldn't avoid it in 2015. What the fuck are you talking? Like, it's that, right? So it's like the way in which they're just like, they set a particular narrative, and even when it is willing to adjust, it is in a very limited manner, which is how they normalize, right, that their audience is white and that like that particular worldview is the only legitimate one, right? It's like, we've been through all this shit in 2017 and this shithole comment is like just the last straw. And I'm like, okay, but the last straw for y'all motherfuckers wasn't that Mexicans are rapists. Like, that wasn't your last straw?
The last straw, right? wasn't Charlottesville?
The last straw wasn't the Central Park Five? Like how many, we all get where we get whenever we get there. Like, fair enough. Like, I tell my students that all the time. Like, whatever. But, like, to acknowledge that other people could have come to this conclusion earlier and for good reason, or to not acknowledge that, is the most willfully ignorant thing. Because at least if you could acknowledge that, you could acknowledge that maybe you're not the person who should be telling this story about finally coming to realize that Trump is a racist. You're not the person who is best equipped to do that, right? The person who is maybe best equipped to do that are the people who knew that and then were shouted the fuck down a year ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, by all you white people who were like, maybe at some point Trump will be presidential. Fuck that. Like, can we just actually call the episode Fuck That?
Yeah. I'm joking, but podcast of white. Fuck that shit. But yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. They don't want to admit that they're not the ones who should be reporting this stuff or discussing this stuff.
Or that their reporting is flawed, right?
Or that they don't have the range. They don't want to report. They don't want to admit to any of that because, you know, they want to keep their cushy jobs, telling white folks what they want to hear. So, and frustrating the rest of us who are trying to listen and trying to be a part of the conversation. But, so that's politics and true crime. I'm going to get into a little bit of the, besides the political podcast that I started listening to, I mostly listen to pop culture podcasts, mostly like movie news and TV recaps, like Kat said. Lately, I was listening to the movie news just to hear Justice League Shade. I don't know why I got some sort of thrill from that, but I did. just all of the different ways, that Warner Brothers has messed up that movie and that whole slate of that whole franchise from the beginning.
Can I just say, I haven't seen any of those DC movies, and it feels like a win in my book that I have avoided giving them any of my money.
From the movie news that I've listened to, it is a win, and I've seen one of those movies, but it's still a win. And but a lot of these movie news podcasts, again, like, I've already seen a lot of the news on Twitter.
Cause look,
they be on it. They be on this news sometimes. So mostly I guess I'm listening for the discussion around it that'll build, you know, more context. Some rarely they'll have some interesting ideas. The fact that the whole Disney Fox merger or deal buyout would give Fox a lot more money and time to devote to Fox News was an idea that I got from listening to a movie podcast. And that was the one idea that I hadn't considered, and it was completely terrifying.
My whole face.
Sorry, boo. But a lot of people were saying, you know, were filling hours of podcasts with, oh, what would Marvel Studios do with this property, this Fox property, and all of that other stuff. But one guy, you know, actually said, you know, and even he prefaced it with, you know, not to get too political, all Fox is going to have left after this deal is Fox News. And now,
which is like terrifying, because it's actually probably a really great thing for them. Like, if you can imagine even just 3 more years of this fucking presidency, like, they're going to make so much money from all these crazy motherfuckers wanting to watch what the president is watching while he's sipping on a Diet Coke at 6 a.m. They're going to make
and
so
they
much
already
money.
Have, and now they have $52 billion to bankroll more hate-filled hosts of their hate-filled programming.
Okay, well, I'm hoping for the rapture, so.
Then we might not get to episode 10. Oh, well.
Amen. You were just going to hear me making a lot of really insensitive jokes anyway. We should just nip that shit in the bud. They probably only get worse from here.
So I've been listening to movie news, and of course, the closer we get to Black Panther, the more unavoidable the issue of race becomes. But
okay, this is what I've been wanting to hear. Tell me, because I don't listen to any of these damn podcasts. I don't actually care what anybody else thinks about Black Panther. If I could like watch this movie in a fucking bubble, I would. Like, no one else matters to me right now except myself.
So right now, they're predicting how much it will do at the box office. You know, people were doing that on Twitter too. So. I swear, I think most podcasts, you know, if we didn't have Twitter, would we have podcasts? It's a chicken and egg thing. So they're predicting box office. They're trying to predict the impact on the culture or whatever. And they're like saying, and then one of them on a show I was listening to the other day said, just take out race. Race doesn't matter. That's not important. Just the impact on young. Yeah.
Excuse me.
The cast is nearly all Black. It's the first time in the whole development of Marvel Studios we haven't seen a Black superhero lead character since Blade. But it's not important. And then. So that had me yelling at my phone in my car, which is not healthy or safe. But then like a few sentences later, that person says, the African American community is going to come out and see this more than once. And I'm like, but race is not important. There's no impact of race. What, you're contradicting yourself in the same damn discussion. So if we're going to have more context-free discussion of Black Panther from these podcasts, because they're so scared to talk about it, just don't talk about it. Just leave Black Panther. I don't want to hear your views of the movie. I don't want to hear anything more about it. You can stop talking about the trailers. Well, there's not going to be any more trailers until the movie comes out. So we're done with that. But just stop. You don't have the range. Stop talking about it. You just frustrate me when you try.
So, like, I mean, I feel like they're just, I don't know how you do it. Like, there are you and then a couple other of my friends who are, like, really, really, really keyed into, like, the pop culture discussion. And I just want to be in there and get what I want and leave. So, like, I could never have never been able to listen to, like, any commentary on, like, The Flash, for instance. I could never listen to, I had to stop listening to commentary on The Expanse because they were like just missing shit. And it was like, and part of the reason I can't do it is because like, I don't need you to like only talk about race. Amazingly, I have other things that I'm interested in, right? Like, you know, gender happens to be another, but like, it's this lack of, it's this inability to realize what you can and cannot do. And then just being willing to ask for help, right? So it's like, if you personally don't want to talk about like the racial aspects of like what makes Black Panther like a particularly momentous occasion, then don't do it. But like, find a friend who does and who can, and then invite them to do that, right? Like, if you'll notice, like, we don't talk about stuff on like Ratchet Research that we don't know shit about. Like, you and Enda talk about shit that y'all know shit about. You know what I mean? It's like this idea that like you have to be able to talk about everything, even if you do it poorly, is so confusing to me.
I mean, that's the reason why FYI. Podcasts aren't supposed to be exhaustive. You stick to a topic you know or you're interested in, and you talk about that.
Right. So, like, the idea that someone could say, like, let's leave the racial aspect out of it is so wild to me. But then, like, the fact that we continue to have this conversation with Marvel and Marvel properties that ignore the fact that simply by being and by censoring Black people, like Marvel gets their best crossover or some of their best crossover numbers, right? Like a whole bunch of black people ain't ever gonna watch Daredevil. Certainly didn't bother. But they, like someone recently said, tuned in and broke Netflix to watch Luke Cage, right? Like, yeah. And the fact that they won't aren't willing to interrogate that is really frustrating to me, but I also think it's really easy then to let Marvel and Disney off the hook, right? Because if you have to interrogate that some of their best viewership, their best numbers are for, in particular, black properties, then you'd have to argue why they aren't doing more of them if, since the fiction we're told is that the studios go where the money is.
Yeah, why have we had like an all-white team of Avengers for 10 years? And nobody says shit about okay, that.
Okay, first of all, don't do my dudes like that.
What? I'm just saying.
Don't.
The core team are all
white. Okay, well, I don't really care or know what white people think the core team is, but for me, the core team is obviously Rhodey.
Yes.
And then definitely Falcon. And then other people.
Yeah, and they're just now realizing that black women exist in 2017, 2018. Okay. But you know, you have your guys. So that's movie news. TV recaps. Why do I listen to them?
Girl, that is the question.
I don't know. I just, when I find a show that I like, that I'm interested in, it's one of the first things I do is look for podcasts about it. I don't know. It's just a compulsion, I guess, now. But I need to stop because most of these podcasts piss me off because they either only half watch the episode. So I'm like,
oh, I hate that.
I'm like, okay, they're like forgetting the names of central characters or important plot points. And I'm like, were you even paying attention? Did you take any notes or did you just watch the episode and then turn on your microphone? Because I'm thinking that's a lot
as you watched.
Possibly. Because a lot of that's the thing. A lot of these folks, they either want to be the first to cover a certain show. Mm. And then they're just first and wrong. Or just first and infuriating a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know more about the episode, more about the actors than you, who's supposed to be this authority with your podcast about it, then yeah, I need to stop listening. Mm-hmm. You're not the authority. Maybe I am. but yeah, I keep hoping that, you know, we'll get discussions about important things that are brought up in some of these episodes. I keep hoping that maybe the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery will spark a discussion about the barrier gaze trope. But no. Oh no. No, 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 no.
You mean they didn't have that conversation after last week?
Some of them broached the topic. They say it's unfortunate. Then one of them said, I'm not saying that you need to make gay people immune from death and violence. And I'm like, why not? They have not been since the inception of television. So just why can't you just give them a break? One show, you would think, give them a break.
Especially because on that show, I'm actually really surprised to hear that they like didn't kind of talk about that in any kind of depth, because one, like, even in the past 2 years, it is a trope that like even people who aren't rabid like fans have like had to encounter because of how pervasive it was. But also, like, Star Trek Discovery I feel like we're moving off track, but Star Trek Discovery did a whole bunch of PR around, like, look, our first, like, openly gay couple, and da-da-da-da-da, yep. Only to then, when they come back from their hiatus, do all that. And it was like, by the way, I have not watched the episode.
Spare yourself.
But it seems... I am. But it seems like totally ridiculous to like not have that conversation if you're a podcast that's literally talking about the show when it's themed, when that is a theme that has history in television and in entertainment, and that they shot themselves in the foot, not because they made them a couple, but because they promoted the couple in that particular way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, look, come here, get invested, and then we're going to kill half your ship.
And just, you're alienating so many viewers that came here for that because that's the way you advertised it. And then, and the way that you kill this person was so brutal. Like, I don't want to watch it again because I don't want to see that shit again. Mm-hmm. I'm still mad about it. It's been a week.
So I actually, this is a random side note, but I actually usually watch DD live tweet Star Trek Discovery. And then I watch it like the next day. And then I like sent her a message and was like, girl, what happened? And got all the tea and then just like, whoop. And I like totally forgot about it. I was like, never mind. Like, not going to watch that.
I'm still mad. I Lord, if you were here and had heard me scream when that happened on my screen, I know I made some neighbors mad. I don't care. I'm so mad they did that. Anyway, but yes, back to topic. I was hoping.
But that should be something as a podcaster you talk about. It shouldn't be the like rabid fans who are looking for inclusion, whatever. That's actually a really significant part of the story that they were telling. And it's an abrupt shift, right? So like, even as a podcaster, if you didn't know what barrier gaze was, if you didn't, you know, sort of think about representation, if you weren't doing that, you still should have had that conversation because it was such an important part of like not only the show, but how they marketed the show. So it's like, do your job, basically.
Also, if you care about storytelling, you should care that.
Well, I feel like we've established that white fans often don't. So.
But yeah, you were talking about the Flash earlier, and I tried to listen to some Flash podcasts, but then they would try to shit on Iris and I would have to delete. So I don't go near Flash podcasts anymore, but I have been listening to Discovery podcasts. I tried to listen to some Expanse podcasts. They pissed me off too. Tried to listen to some podcasts on Marvel's Runaways until some.
I heard that guy went off rail exactly. Too.
See, I can't. Nowhere is.
You want to know what hasn't gone off rail, fam? Damn it.
Here you go.
So far. Is anyone doing Damnation recaps? Didi, let's go.
Yeah, there's a couple of podcasts out there. I'm scared to listen. I don't want to hear them say anything bad about Bessie because then I will go off. But she does need to sit her ass down somewhere. I say that with love.
Let her save
her own day and sit her ass down or go look for her mom. Anyway, spoilers for Damnation. You're gonna have to put the spoiler policy on.
But like, nobody's watching it, so okay. Go watch Damnation.
So oh my god, I wonder how those podcasts are talking about the Black Legion. I'm scared. I don't need to get pissed.
You should see my face right now.
I don't I need to get pissed like, off by oh. No more podcasts. I will just throw away my phone or something. But
But like, you just, we could like test every theory. We could test every theory that we've had about like podcasting and whiteness based off of any kind of like response to that show. Because very clearly, the opposition is rich white people and racist white people. And that's literally it. Like, the good people, the main characters, are a vaguely interracial group of people. It's only one black family. And they are poor people who are working for workers' rights, et cetera, et cetera. And if you are out here, like, finding a way to talk about the Black Legion in a positive manner.
Yeah.
Case point.
Oh God. Oh, now I'm going to look up those things. I'm gonna break my brain. Yeah. Okay. I heard a recap of, the first episode of Marvel's Runaways, where they were complaining that the cast was too diverse. Because there was one black teenage boy. There were two Latinas.
Really?
And yeah, well, one of them is a Latina actress who is actually playing a Jewish girl.
Oh.
And her adopted sister on the show is also Latina, but her character in the comics was a little white girl. And that's the character that the host of this podcast really had a problem with, because they made the girl, they aged up everybody, I think. But especially, you know, the little white girl in the comics was younger. And so he was complaining that making her Latina, the show is set in LA, but making her Latina, you know, is making it too diverse, which is bullshit. Having that many white people in the group in LA in the 2000s would have been ignorant. But that, you know, she was taller than one of the other characters in the group who's supposed to be older. And, you know, since she was taller and not white, then she wasn't innocent. She wasn't as innocent as she was in the comics. I was just...
You know what this reminds me of? That whole fan theory. That whole ass ludicrous fan theory about how all of these DC recastings on the CW were anti-ginger propaganda.
Oh my God.
I laughed for days. They were like... so pressed. They were like, y'all are only recasting gingers. I guess, motherfucker. I don't know if it's that many gingers like in the world as there are in fucking comics. Like, they imagine a lot of redheads. I ain't seen that many.
If you want some redheads, go over to Marvel. Pepper Potts, Black Widow.
I know there's some. It's more redheads in these comics than black people.
Bloop.
And I just want to point out to you that that's not accurate.
That's not, no. The census says no. But I don't know if the census is measuring redheads. They might in 2020. But
probably not. But you know, let me actually, I'm about to say some real things. Never.
I mean, the way he's changing the census, they might in the next one. But anyway, we're so off the rails. Okay. So, yeah, TV recaps, they're done because so many podcasts of whatever genre or category are hosted by straight white men. We get a lot of insensitive comments when it comes to diversity, whether it be racial diversity or gender diversity, or diversity as far as orientation. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole lot of people talking before they think. And I'm tired of it. It pisses me off. I rant about it a lot on Twitter.
A lot. Follow Didi at Duff Daughter.
I mean, it's in my bio. Rants about media. And I do. But yeah, so that's how I'm tired of it. I'm like, the least you can do is watch the episodes all the way through. Take a couple notes so you won't forget important shit when you're recording, and not say stupid shit about diversity.
Part of the reason why I just do not, I actually just don't consume television media or film media. And that is because the thing I realized over the past like 10 years or so is that I have like very rarely read a critic who knew more about the particular television show or character or movie than my like diehard fans, friends who are diehard fans, right? So it's like, The Flash is my happy place, so I'll use this as an example. But like every now and then I would read some like review of a Flash episode and they would say something and I would be like, okay, but that's actually been handled previous episode, previous season, right? And or someone else would be like, well, in the comic, and someone actually say, well, no, that's like not this comic storyline. They're pulling it from here, da 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 da. And so it's like I don't tend to like entertainment reviewers because they are not as well versed in the media as they assume they are.
Really not.
But if you just have like literally like I could follow you or like some of my other friends who are like really engaged with like comics or whatever, and they will sort of point out all of these things happening in like Marvel movies and DC TV shows and da 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 da, and they will do so with first of all more information. They're coming from a place of like just simply being informed, but also enjoying on some level, the actual thing, right? Which doesn't mean they can't critique it, but like when people talk about Iris, I mean, and a lot of reviewers, especially in the first two seasons, would talk about like Iris's character in this really disparaging way. And a lot of it was like very clear, like coded racial language. When they would talk about her in these particular ways, as if, for instance, like she wasn't as innocent, she wasn't as pretty, her and Barry weren't as connected, whatever, like they would do so and totally miss every single way that the show was very expertly sort of calling back, not just to the relationship on screen, but also the relationship in comics. And it's like, if you can't even, whether you like her character or not, whether you like the storyline or not, if you aren't coming from a place where you're like informing your viewer, your listener, whatever, then what the fuck is the point of listening to your podcast or reading your review?
Amen.
What's the
point? Another example is the last episode of season 4 of a sci-fi anthology series called Black Mirror that just dropped on Netflix.
True
that. A lot of people binged it in one weekend, wrote a review, and were done with it.
Right. That's the other thing. Yeah. They're just done with it, right? They're not the ones who go back and rewatch. They aren't the ones who will like binge the whole series in preparation for it's a one and done.
There's this particular episode, episode 6 of season 4 called Black Museum, that people got on Twitter right away because they knew it was going to get misinterpreted by white reviewers who I guess don't seem to see race. And it did. A lot of mainstream media organizations showed their whole asses on their reviews by calling this episode a pale imitator of a previous episode called White Christmas that they liked much better. And it's just but
I don't watch that.
It was just funny that they liked White Christmas much better than Black Museum. But there were a lot of things that you could talk about that this episode touched on that white reviewers didn't even see. And yet they wrote about it. I guess because they were the ones getting the assignments and Black people weren't, which is what I think David Dennis, warned about. He said, please give this assignment to a Black writer. And they didn't, and mm-hmm. they showed their whole asses, and people are still writing essays because there's so many things that you can talk about that one episode brought up that a whole group of white writers did not see, but Black writers did. And they're still writing essays about it. The episode dropped 3 weeks ago. When you're not worried about being the first, you can take your time and actually analyze the episode for what it's actually trying to say. I'm not saying every episode of every TV show deserves the same level of analysis, but this one clearly does. They wouldn't have put all of these elements into it if they didn't want more discussion than beyond a superficial level. A lot of TV recaps fail because they rush to be first and they miss a lot of stuff. So
do you think though, since we're talking about podcasts, do you think that podcasts are better or worse on that? So it's like they also rush, but do they not have the same rush as like as someone who's working in print, for instance, what do you think about that?
It takes longer to put a podcast together, to put the music, get, finish the editing, and even to just get all the people together to record. So I want to say they can't rush as much as maybe print can, but I really don't know what's involved in getting a story from writing to published. There's probably not as many editors in newsrooms these days, and probably less time devoted to editing TV pieces. I don't know, but the thing is, I would think that podcasters have more time. So the reason why they will rush is lost on me. Unless they have, listeners clamoring like, please, please hurry up and post your ill thought out and heavily rushed episode. Please. I need to hear it. and hell, that could be, I don't know. But That's my experience listening to those kinds of podcasts. Your blood pressure thanks you. And your healthy heart thanks you. I think that's enough of a show.
I thought that we were very intelligent and respectful today. we were very like focused and organized and these lies. Anyway.
So, Black Girl Squee is a network as well as a podcast. You can check out our other shows like Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast. We recapped season 2 of Underground on a show called
Rest in peace to both of those.
Missives from the Underground is the show that you can hear those recaps. And, of course, we have the flagship show, Black Girl Squee. Soon to come back from our year-end break. So if you like what you hear, please contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackgirlsqueak. You can tweet the show using the hashtag #RatchetResearch.
Please.
You can contact Kat at XRecluse if you dare.
No pressure.
I'm at Death Star. Pressure. You can tweet Black Girl Squee.
Pressure.
At Black Girl Squee. That's BlackGirlSqueeE. And email us blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. So until next time, whenever we decide to get together and do some ratchet research, bye.
We already have plans. Bye, y'all.
All my niggas in the whole wide world. All my niggas in the
whole world. Hey.